The dream of El Dorado, a lost city of gold, led many a conquistador on fruitless treks into the rainforests and mountains of South America. But it was all wishful thinking. The Golden One was actually not a place, but it was a person. And all of this led to many things in our past. And today it gives us the South American myth of El Dorado. For the people who lived there, it was not a place. It was a ruler so rich that he allegedly covered himself in gold from head to toe every single morning and then washed it off in a sacred lake each evening. The lake, Lake Guatavita, and the legends surrounding El Dorado, they've changed over time. It went from a man to being a city to even being a kingdom and then finally an empire. So what exactly was going on? Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me The Ghost, A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. Secondly, we have They Call Me The Ghost, and that is where I, the ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences. And don't forget to check out our podcast. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, and you like them in story format, that's what we do here, and you're in the right place. Back to El Dorado. So Columbus arrived in the Americas in AD 1492, and it was the first chapter in a world-changing clash of cultures. It was a brutal confrontation of completely opposing ways of living, the systems that they followed, and what they believed. The European myth that arose of El Dorado as a lost city of gold waiting for discovery by an adventurous conqueror encapsulates the Europeans' endless thirst for gold and their unerring drive to exploit those new lands for their own monetary value. The South American myth of El Dorado, on the other hand, reveals the true nature of the territory and the people who lived there. The real story behind the myth has slowly been pieced together over recent years using a combination of early historical texts and new archaeological research. At its heart, it's a true story of a rite of passage, a ceremony carried out by the peoples who lived in central Colombia, that's where it is today, from AD 800 to the modern day. So let's go through this a bit. Different Spanish people arrived in this alien continent to them in the early 16th century, and they began to write about this ceremony of El Dorado. And one of the best accounts comes from a Juan Rodriguez Fraile. In Fraile's book, The Conquest and Discovery of the New Kingdom of Grenada, published in 1636, that's a long time ago, well, he tells us when a leader died within the Musica Society, the process of succession for the chosen Golden One would unfold. The selected new leader of the community, commonly the nephew of the previous chief, because everything was passed down, would go through a long initiation process, culminating in the final act of paddling out on a raft onto this sacred lake, such as Lake Guatavita in central Colombia. Surrounded by the four highest priests, adorned with feathers, gold crowns, and body ornaments, the leader, naked but for covering of gold dust, would set out to make an offering of gold objects, emeralds, and other precious objects to the gods by throwing them into the lake. The shores of the circular lake were filled with richly adorned spectators, playing musical instruments and burning fires that almost blocked out the daylight from this crucible-like basin. The raft itself had four burning fires on it, throwing up plumes of incense into the sky. When at the very center of the lake, the priest would then raise a flag to draw silence from the crowd. This moment would mark the point at which the crowds would commit allegiance to their new leader by shouting their approval from the lake shore. Oh, if it were just that easy nowadays, right, guys? It's pretty fascinating. Many aspects of this interpretation of events have been validated by painstaking archaeological research. Research that also reveals the exceptional skill and scale of gold production in Colombia at the time of the Europeans arriving in 1537. Within the Musica Society, gold, or the more specifically an alloy of gold, silver, and copper, and they called it tumbaga, was highly sought after, not for its material value, but for its spiritual power, its connection to the deities, and its ability to bring balance and harmony within their society. As a descendant, Enrique Gonzalez explains gold does not symbolize prosperity to his people. For the people of today, just as for their ancestors, gold is nothing more than an offering. It does not represent wealth to them. And research will show you that gold objects were made specifically for immediate use as offerings to the gods to encourage them to balance the equilibrium of the cosmos and ensure a stable relationship within their environment. And research shows that there really isn't any other society that dedicated over 50% of their production of gold and things like this for votive offerings. It's very unique. The gold objects, like the collection of tuños, their votive offerings, most commonly flat, on digital display there at the British Museum right now, were made by using lost wax. It's a process, creating clay molds around delicate wax models before melting them, and then they would cast them in gold. Since all the gold objects in each offering have the same chemical signature as well as unique manufacturer traits, it's clear that these objects were being specifically made for offerings, and they may only have been in existence for a matter of hours before they were actually deposited. They were gone to them. Incredibly, a gold raft depicting a scene exactly like that described by one of the researchers was found in 1969 by three villagers. It was found in the hills. And this scene of a man covered in gold going out onto a sacred lake is the real story of El Dorado. The way this story grew into the myth of a legendary city of gold reveals the distinct way in which gold was a source of material wealth for those European conquerors. They had little understanding of what its true value was to the society. The European minds were simply dazzled by how much gold there actually was there and deep in the waters of the lake, buried at other sacred sites, all within Colombia. And way back then, it was these stories of El Dorado that drew the Spanish conquistadors, the army of 800 men that went away from their mission to find an overland route to Peru, and they went up the Andean homeland for the first time because they're searching for this gold. And these guys went deep in. They weren't really ready for it, and a lot of people, they lost their lives. But when they found what they were looking for, it was astounding to them. The gold working of this society was like nothing they'd ever seen before. The exquisitely crafted gold objects used techniques beyond anything that the Europeans had seen before. Well, tragically, the desperate hunt for gold is still very much alive today. Now, researchers are not just trying to discover things, they're also trying to stop those people that want to go in and loot everything, because they seem to follow everything everywhere, don't they? And what this means is that what a society was using in their rituals, something that meant something to them personally, was stolen, melted down. And so now the real value of these artifacts and what they created, what they did, it's lost forever. And do looters ever think about this stuff? I don't really think they care. But we should care, because it's a part of our past. It's something people did. They wanted to keep it there for all time. And now random people that really don't know anything about what they were doing have come in and taken it all. It's pretty disgusting, if you ask me. But there is an upside. A lot of the items that they did find are now in a British museum in London, and they can provide an insight to these different perspectives on basically material value and the human perception of it. Because what really counts here are what the people were doing and what it meant to them before the Spanish conquistadors came in to basically ravage everything, take everything, because they wanted the gold. So what is that line between something personal and monetary value? There are some things that we would consider have no monetary value, even if they are worth a lot, because they mean something to us. And that helps us know that our souls are still alive with some passion, something good to take with us. Thank you for listening today, and I will talk to you all soon.